Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking about the politics of supplements. Yeah, whether you're a political junkie or not, this affects you if you're interested in continued access to supplements of your choice, because something's coming down the road that is pretty menacing. And, you know, I hate to cry wolf. You know, the boy who cried wolf, you know, you keep saying that something's coming down the pike and it never materializes, and, you know, people finally kind of stop listening to the message. But this is an important juncture when it comes to supplement regulation. Today we're with Jonathan Posey, who's legislative director of the Alliance for Natural Health. It's a group on which I'm a board member, which seeks to ensure that Americans have clean water, clean air, access to supplements of their choice, and to health practitioners of their choice. There's a lot of different initiatives that ANH is involved in, but Jonathan's going to tell us about an action alert that ANH just issued. And they, you know, they issue action alerts periodically, but an action alert means something's brewing. So what's the latest?
Absolutely. So on August 15th, we published in our newsletter, The Pulse of Natural Health, which you can find at our website at www.anh-usa.org, a very important article about a new guidance document that was just released from the FDA on what are called new dietary ingredients. Now, what is a guidance document? A guidance document presents the FDA's current thinking on a particular issue, in this case, dietary ingredients and dietary supplements. Unfortunately, those guidance documents are often used to enforce laws that don't exist and to enforce regulations that don't exist. In this particular case, dietary supplements are governed under a bill, piece of legislation that was passed in 1994. For the political wonks out there, it's known as the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act of 1994.
Or DSHEA, yeah, for short.
DSHEA, absolutely, DSHEA. What DSHEA said is that prior to 1994, dietary supplements that were on the market are completely safe. However, if you as a supplement manufacturer would like to market and sell a dietary supplement or ingredient after 1994, you need to first notify the FDA, and you need to go through what is called the NDI process, or the New Dietary Ingredient Notification Process. So back in 2011, finally, FDA released their first guidance document.
So I'm just curious, why did it take so long? What's the theory behind that? I mean, 1994 to 2011, everything was in limbo until then?
It was all in limbo. It took so long because FDA deliberately dragged its feet. They don't want these supplements on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And a key way to do it is simply drag their feet. There is no timeline that they're held to. They can do it whenever they want.
They sometimes refer to this as sandbagging, you know, and what that means is that, and some people who are perhaps a little bit on the conspiracy theory side, but there's some plausibility to this, believe that FDA has allowed some pretty poor quality products to hit the marketplace without exerting its legal authority to regulate supplements, in an effort to demonstrate that they need more power and more regulations, more legislative rationale for going after supplements.
They don't need anything further. The law on dietary supplements since 1994 has said dietary supplements are regarded as safe. If the FDA believes that they are unsafe, they should take action to deem them what are called adulterated and to remove them from the market. FDA has the authority. They don't need any new authority to do this.
Well, now, that's not what a lot of the newspapers are saying. The newspapers say, and frequently you see this all the time, even very mainstream publications, says the FDA has no power to regulate supplements. They actually say that straight out. No, the FDA is powerless. They, you know, the marketplace is awash with dangerous supplements, and the FDA is hamstrung, and we need to empower them to be able to better safeguard the public. I mean, that's the mantra that's being repeated.
And completely untrue. I mean, so what FDA has to do is they have to investigate and then refer to the Department of Justice. If they don't ever do that, if they don't do their job, the Department of Justice will never go after those cell makers. Now, I just put into Google, Department of Justice dietary supplements.
Okay.
And up pops Justice Department and federal partners announce enforcement actions of dietary supplement cases. This was specific instances where fly-by-night dietary supplement quote-unquote manufacturers were making what they called dietary supplements, but were full of illegal and harmful chemicals.
And those are the ones FDA, we really want to look out for, like the natural Viagra that's actually laced with real Viagra, and things that like speed pills for weight loss that are laced with drugs. That's what we really want to go after.
Yeah, I mean, in this article here, they found 117 individuals and entities. And they pursued criminal and civil law enforcement actions, 89 of which have cases filed against them since 2014. The enforcement is there. It's just FDA doesn't want to do its job, because if it does its job too well, then people will say, well, wait, why do you need more authority here?
Yep. Oh, that's well put. So it almost seems like the FDA wants to flip the script. You know, the Deshaies currently says that supplements are deemed safe unless proven otherwise. They want to change it to supplements are deemed unsafe unless proven safe. So a priori, you can't market it unless you go through some exhaustive process where you're singing for your meal with the FDA, paying large fees, spending a lot of money on safety studies, when a supplement has been used perhaps for centuries and millennia in traditional medicine.
Correct. They were under this new guidance document they just put out, which is tied to our action alert. They have said that anything that you want to put onto the market, any type of dietary ingredient, whether it's in a supplement or standalone, if you want to put it out after 1994, meaning today, it's got to meet some very stringent requirements. Now, so first off, they're requiring 25 years of safety data. If you've just come out with a new dietary ingredient that might have some real substantive immediate therapeutic benefits, it's very difficult to show 25 years of safe use.
Mm-hmm.
Second point that's really important is that the new guidance document lays out that these dietary ingredients would be considered chemically altered if they were subjected to new manufacturing processes.
So an example of which is, so you could market like green tea powder in a pill, but you couldn't market purified EGCG, which is the business end of the green tea, or another constituent of green tea, which is L-theanine. That's a purified derivative of green tea. It's not, you don't find, L-theanine growing in your garden. It's the derivative of the thing. So they're saying once you standardize and purify, then it becomes a synthetic or a new drug entity.
It's completely new. And when they declare it to be new using new manufacturing processes, for example, you have to file a lengthy application process to notify FDA that you're going to do this. And if they say, nope, I'm sorry, Ron, back in 1994, if you had just diluted it, that'd been fine. But because you used some innovative new manufacturing techniques to extract that, we're going to say that's unsafe. And so we need you to provide us with 25 years of safety data.
That's a non-starter right there. A lot of companies would just fold up. Yeah.
Well, that's the point. Because of this guidance, thousands of dietary supplements are going to be removed from the market. You will go to a store and you will see empty shelves. It's that simple.
What in particular do you think is on the chopping block? What are some of the things that they really seem to be going after, or is it really that we're just going to have vitamin C, 50 milligrams, a multivitamin like a Centrum or a one-a-day multivitamin, maybe vitamin D, 400 international units, it's just basically pablum, nothing cutting edge at all.
Great one.
Yeah.
I'll give you my favorite one, bitter orange.
Okay.
Bitter orange extract. Mm-hmm. You could have taken bitter orange extract in 1994 or even 1996 and been just fine. FDA would have never gone after the maker of that. But just last year, a company tried to make concentrated bitter orange extract. All they did was concentrate it, something that's been done for hundreds of years. FDA said, nope, 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 that's a completely new dietary ingredient. You need to go through this very complicated process, which, by the way, at the time, they had not yet come up with the process before you could put that on the market. So that company had to literally just withdraw it from the market.
So there's one down. But, you know, I think emboldened by their success, they're not going to stop.
No, of course not. They're dependent upon the big pharma fees to keep moving. And big pharma says, no, we want to be the ones to produce those dietary supplements. We need to be able to force off the shelf the small and medium-sized companies.
And actually, this is plausible because there are certain things that are on the market that pharmaceutical companies are interested in. For example, 5-methylfolate, which is the bioavailable active form of folic acid being a synthetic thing. There are now pharmaceutical companies that are making 5-methylfolate for patients with depression, for patients who are suffering from dementia, and it's they're charging an arm and a leg, and you can go to a health food store and you can buy those ingredients. FDA went after 5-methylfolate, said that you couldn't sell that, basically handing a monopoly to the pharmaceutical companies.
Of course, because as we've seen, what happens when a pharmaceutical company gets a monopoly on something? They raise the price.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, if we see that with fish oil, where the fish oil from the pharmaceutical companies costs like $300 a bottle, and it's $29.95 for the same comparable concentration when you get it from a reputable manufacturer.
Yeah, so what we need is, if you care, if you're listening to this show and you care about dietary supplements, you need to go and take action. Go to our website. It's the August 5th article. Go there. Click the Take Action button. Contact your member of Congress. Contact the FDA and say, hey, I want my supplements. I want innovative, new dietary supplements. I don't want the FDA to have the power to just simply say, nope. You know, this is too innovative. We don't want it on the market because we're all being harmed this way.
Do we have, you know the Washington scene and you make the rounds. I know you know your way around the Senate and House of Representative office buildings, you know, the Sam Rayburn and, you know, all that maze of offices there, which I completely get lost in. I think you probably can find your way through it.
You know, there's a train under there?
I know that.
It's a train running into the Capitol.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. The train is amazing. But, it literally is like a maze where, you know, hundreds and hundreds of offices because there's so many congresspeople and they're housing their staffs. And each office has sort of the individual flavor of the state. So, you know, you go down to, you know, the Texas office and they'll have like, you know, longhorn steer horns and, you know, kind of a rustic Texas and look. And you go to Vermont, it's kind of like, you know, clean and green and, you know, like environmentally friendly and pictures of beautiful mountains.
I was in a Georgia
mountains.
Office. We had soda and peanuts in my Georgia office that I worked in.
There you go. So it reflects the culture of the states. But so do we have champions in Congress and do we have arch foes in Congress who simply don't get it? Or maybe they really are just committed to supporting the interests of the pharmaceutical industry.
Oh, we definitely do. Our primary champions is Representative Jason Chaffetz of Utah.
Yay.
And also Senator, sorry?
Yay, I say. Mm-hmm. He's a good guy.
Also Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah, who was the original author of DSHEA. We also have Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina. We have Representative Frank Pallone of New Jersey, Jared Polis of Colorado, Peter DeFazio. Mm-hmm. Wonderful supporter of Oregon. Now on the other side, we have Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois, the arch nemesis of supplements.
Yep.
He hates supplements. He wants supplements gone.
Yep.
Now, his compatriot is Senator Blumenthal of Connecticut.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Who also wants supplements gone. These have been our two biggest foes, and They have got it in their heads that, they've got it in their heads that people are dying from supplements, and that mm-hmm. we've got to get rid of them. They're also supported by the pharmaceutical industry, so that
right.
makes it easier for them.
And there is not a unanimity, a party unanimity about this, because some of our champions come from both sides of the aisle. You know, we sort of that, we get those sort of clean and green, Democrats, and then we also have sort of the laissez-faire, anti-regulation Republicans in coalition, supporting rational legislation about vitamins and supplements, right?
That is the interesting thing about dietary supplements. It crosses every line in America that you can draw. Politics, race, religion, culture, background, it crosses them all. Mm-hmm. Everyone depends on good, clean, healthy food and good, clean, healthy dietary supplements and nutrients.
Right. So I think, you know, we pretty much covered this particular initiative. In the remaining time, we have a couple more minutes. You know, what are some of the other initiatives that A&H is pursuing? Because we're not a one-note Charlie organization. There's a lot of health-related initiatives that A&H is getting behind.
Oh, absolutely. A very important issue for us right now is compounded medication. And what that means very simply is that certain patients require an individualized prescription made just for them. Literally, a pharmacist will mix it up right there at the pharmacy, package it for that individual patient because they might have an allergy or they need a specific dosing that's not available from a commercially available product. The FDA is at war with mm-hmm. compounding. They are working very hard to end compounding, not just of compounded medications, but compounded dietary supplements as well. Another issue that we're very passionate about is genetically modified foods. Congress, in their infinite wisdom, just said, you know what, it's okay. You don't need to label foods as having genetically modified ingredients.
The so-called Dark Act. They call it the Dark Act because they want to keep us in the dark.
Yes, yes. It boggles the mind. Over 95% of Americans want to know if their foods contain GMO ingredients. Congress says, nah, you don't need to know that. You can just flip it over and call a phone number, scan a code or something, if you have the phone that can do that.
Right.
So at A&H, we're passionate about supplements, protecting compounded medications.
It interesting. They want to make it so easy to vote. You know, like, you don't need no identification. You can, you know, don't have to barely, you know, speak English or, you know, no qualifications. They want to lower the bar to be able to get in that voting booth. But on the other hand, they want to make it much more cumbersome and difficult to find out what's in a can or a box of food, because you have to go through, you have to have, you know, a graduate education, and you have to be technically adept to track down the ingredients on a food mm-hmm. package. That's a very interesting paradox, I think.
Because of big food, big agriculture, and the grocery manufacturers of America, billions of dollars spent lobbying Congress on this.
Right. So, okay, I'm sorry I interrupted you on some of the other initiatives beyond GMO.
Oh, no, that's perfectly fine. Those are some of our biggest issues. And a little on the outside, we also deeply support every citizen's right to choose their choice for vaccines. They want to be vaccinated. The information behind the vaccines, we're very much behind vaccine choice. Mm-hmm. So those are our big, big issues.
Okay. And, you know, also, I think on a local and national level, A&H is always willing to support practitioners who are sometimes under fire unjustly because simply they're practicing alternative medicine in a state where maybe they don't get it, or they got some stringent regulations that if you step outside the box, you're going to get attacked, and then a doctor may be suspended, lose their license, and then their patients are left high and dry without access to the care that they choose.
I'm so happy you brought that up, Ron. If you are a practitioner listening to this show right now, if you're having trouble with a federal or state agency coming after you for doing what you're doing, we want to hear from you because we need those stories so that we can amplify the fight to them. So please reach out to us if you've been attacked.
You know, and I have to say that the climate has really changed since I began my career, where it was very hostile to doctors practicing natural medicine, and you almost had to be a little underground, you know, and not make waves. And now we, I think, our practices have flourished, and the popularity of this type of medicine has skyrocketed, and there's just more and more and more practitioners, not just MDs and DOs, but all manner of practitioners, nutritionally oriented chiropractors, naturopaths, nurses, nurse practitioners, you know, and so on. I might have left out a couple of categories, but, you know, health coaches, too, are really proliferating. And, you know, there's so many ways in which...
My favorite.
Yeah, so there's so many ways in which Americans are enhancing their health, relying on natural means of staying healthy, and thus, I think, ultimately saving the healthcare system from destruction, because our healthcare system is in serious trouble. We're, you know, I don't know how we're going to, it's unsustainable. And unless we utilize more natural approaches to diseases, our high-tech approaches are costly, often dangerous, and often less than completely efficacious.
Absolutely, Ron. Absolutely.
So, our take-home message is check out anh-usa.org. Go to the Action Alert page, and let your legislators know that you're mad as hell and you won't take it anymore. that you don't want legislation to infringe on your right to choose the wonderful supplements of your choice that safeguard and maintain your health.
Yep, you will find this Action Alert under our article published on August 15th of this year, entitled FDA, Massive Attack on Supplements.
Yep, good stuff. And important and crucial, this issue is only going to heat up. It's just a, kind of a warning shot. And if you stay abreast of the issue by frequently visiting ANH-USA, or better yet, becoming a member, what does it entail that you become a member? Is it a big... Is it a big hit? You also get some benefits. You get Jonathan Wright's newsletter for free now. Is that correct?
Well, you almost. There is no cost to becoming a member of the Alliance for Natural Health. Simply subscribe to our newsletter. You'll get the newsletter plus those action alerts. You can also get a partial free issue of Jonathan Wright's Green Medicine newsletter, which is very, very interesting. But subsequently, that is a paid subscription.
Okay. So just like an added benefit. And then, hey, you know, if you're feeling in a generous mood, you know, contribute a couple of dollars because it's a worthy cause. And, you know, we're not subsidized by big pharma. You know, we have a couple of industry supporters.
Nor big corporations.
Nor big corporations. It's a small-scale, grassroots organization. And, you know, I think... the sincerity comes through when we go to legislators' offices, because they kind of look at us and they go, who are you guys? You guys are, oh, you represent 500,000 people? Okay. Well, that's interesting. And, you know, it's not about a big corporation, or it's not about, you know, an organized, union. It's a grassroots effort.
Health.
Yeah. It's a natural health constituency.
We want people to eat and live healthy. And as a nonprofit consumer-watched organization, people listen to us because of that.
Well, great. Okay, keep up the great work, Jonathan. And we will continue to get dispatches from the front periodically from ANH. I thank you for today's update.
Thank you very much for having me on, Ron.
My great pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and you've been listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.